Hello and welcome everyone to Why Should Your Team Win? I hope everyone had a good holiday break. And I'm really excited for this episode because it is a crossover episode. I am teaming up with another podcast, I Can't Believe You Made Me Watch This podcast, which is hosted by my twin sister, Amy, and her friend. Please welcome to the show, Amy and her friend.
Hey!
What's up?
So for this special, well, first of all, Amy, Kai, could you tell me about your podcast so my listeners can, you know, kind of understand what we're doing here?
Yeah. And what's our podcast?
So we're actually doing like a season two, but, basically we find a list of movies and we watch them, and then I will make, Kai, my friend,
hey.
Watch terrible movies to accompany it. And then we discussed it.
Season one was supposedly the worst movie from every year, starting in 1930 or so, all the way up to present day. And then season two, we did a 180, and now we're watching the Best Picture winner, the Oscars Best Picture from every year, and making our way up. So that's what we do on that podcast.
Awesome. So... Kai, you're repping the Detroit gear. I was going to ask who your favorite team is, but tell me how you got to be a Detroit fan.
It's Red Wings, baby. The same reason all Detroit people get into Detroit sports is they were cursed by being born into a family of other Detroit fans who made them watch Detroit Lions on Sunday, the Detroit Pistons all winter long, and of course the Detroit Red Wings as well. That's how it happens, is you're indoctrinated at a young age.
Yeah. Well, I know you're more of a football guy, but do you have a favorite Red Wings player?
Yeah, I do. I really like, Dylan Larkin has been, he's the Detroit Red Wings version of like Zach Parise, just like this dude who came in real promising, really young, years ago, and is good, or had a little peak there for a minute, and then like never really sealed the deal or fulfilled their promise. But I like Larkin. He's hurt right now. It's all good. But when he's on the ice, he still plays hard. He seems to really like the Detroit area, which, you know, as a fan base, we're easy to pander to. You just have to be like, the city's coming back soon. And it's like, he's the real deal. He's going to take us to the promised land. So I like Parise. He's a lot of fun.
Larkin.
Larkin, my bad. Yeah, I've been drinking.
Cheers. And Amy, let me throw it over to you. You don't like any sports at all, correct?
I will watch sports. I do enjoy watching sports, but I'm not a diehard fan at all. So I'm just like, the losing team, go, go, go. So whoever's playing and losing, I will.
Amy's that asshole that will cheer against your team when she can't even name a single player. God bless her. So the movie we are going to watch is Youngblood.
I've been offered a tryout with Hamilton Mustangs. I got to play junior if I'm ever going to play pro. All the scouts are going to be there.
Dean Youngblood. Scored 92 goals this year so far for the Stanton Flyers.
Get him a uniform.
The Doc Daughter is here.
New uniforms for the playoffs?
Want to go, pretty boy? Come on.
You gotta play it according to their rules.
Stand! Maybe I made a mistake about you. What do you think?
I don't sign a pro contract next couple of years, I'm through.
What if it had been you? What if it was you?
Wake up, superstar.
We're in this together. You're a team, a family.
You need it here, and you never quit. Ever.
Cindy Gibb, Patrick Swayze.
I've never seen it. Kai, how does this rank in hockey movies?
You've never seen this movie before?
I've never seen it. Well, no, let me back up. Let me back
interesting.
Up.
Kai, interesting to me.
Give a summary of the movie.
Giving a summary of this movie is not that hard, I suppose, because it's basically just all the cliches of a sports movie strung together, and it never at any point surprises you. But we start off on a farm. A young kid. What does the movie say he is? 17?
Yeah, 17.
He's 17 years old, so that's going to be a little weird later when he has sex with a 50-year-old boarding house owner. But he's 17, 17, 5 foot 10, 160 pounds, scoring machine, played by Rob Lowe. What's his character's name? I watched this movie, Youngberg. I swear. Deaner, Dean, that's
Young,
right.
Yeah.
Dean.
Pretty boy.
His brother and his dad both were hockey guys, but kind of washed out. I don't know how far the dad went, but the brother barely made it past juniors in Canada. And now they're all working on the farm together. Mom ran off. It's just these boys being dudes, having fun out on the farm, getting things done. But Dean still dreams of making the pros. And his next step really here is to join juniors. He didn't get picked up by any college programs, it sounds like, and so this is his next and last step before he has to like settle down and grow up and get a real job. So he goes up to Canada where they're having tryouts. He has a pretty solid tryout. He puts a lot of pucks in the net, but there's a goon out there who's also trying out. What's his name? Racky.
Yep.
Racky, yeah. Racky, you know, is a goon because he's 8 feet tall and has a beard. Personality wise, that seems to be it. He doesn't have any inner personal life. He doesn't have any depth. He just gets on the ice and hurts people. He doesn't score any goals, and that's what the coach is looking for. So the coach is like, Racky, even though you definitely beat up a lot of people, and I respect that, you're just not going to make the team. I'm going to take Dean Youngblood. So yeah, Dean's on the team. The Stanton Mustangs,
Hamilton
Mustangs, Hamilton Mustangs. So he's on the Hamilton Mustangs now. Other notable members of the team are Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves, sporting the most outrageous French Canadian accent you've ever heard. They go on the road. Dean is a young rookie in the junior Canadian circuit, and he's learning his place in the team, learning his place in professional hockey, and learning his place in the world as he soon encounters a young lady in town that he falls in love with. She's the only person in Hamilton that doesn't have mall bangs and a gap in her teeth, so she's obviously the romantic interest in this movie.
Yeah.
But uh-oh, plot twist, she's the coach's daughter.
Oh, shit,
Dean, you stupid fuck. Yeah, how much cussing am I allowed to do? Because I have been drinking.
All of it, yeah.
Tight. This movie is also full of cusses. Just so you know, if you're thinking of watching it with your kid or whatever, who's like 13 and in Pee-wee's, they're going to hear a lot of people talk about fucking. Dean is kind of courting her, kind of not. They have to keep their distance because coach don't like it when you're dating his daughter. He'll bench you during practice or the next game or whatever. But it does become apparent that Dean is pretty good at facilitating offense. He's a shot creator. He's an opportunity creator, especially when he's on the ice with Patrick Swayze. He's pretty good for assists for Peaceways. However, as they enter the final series of the season, I don't know if it's playoffs or if it's just the last series of the season, whatever it is in Canada, they've got a couple games to play against the Bombers, the Thunder Bay Bombers. The first game goes poorly. It turns out Racky made the team for them. And in addition to being a 400-pound ass-beating machine, he's also putting in a couple goals. He's kind of the only offensive power they have on that team, which is ironic considering coach for the Mustangs said that was his problem. So anyways, Racky puts a big pretty dirty hit on Patrick Swayze, puts him in the hospital. This makes Dean rethink his entire life and career. He's like, I got to get out of this shit. The game is too fucked up for me. His girlfriend, the coach, is, yeah, jump in here.
I'm just going to describe the injury. As someone who plays hockey, you guys can describe the penalties. But he goes up behind Patrick Swayze's Sutton, Rocky does, and he, with his hockey stick, knocks off his helmet, and then he hooks him or something. He knocks him over, so he flies, feet go forward, head goes backwards, and cracks his head on the ice.
Helmetless head. His helmet falls off. Yeah, like you mentioned. Yeah. So it's bare. This is the Tua Tagovailoa injury for all my football heads listening to this hockey podcast. Mm-hmm. So at least a concussion here. Possible.
Oh, there's blood everywhere.
There's definite blood. They say there's a crack in the skull, though sometimes hockey players just talk like that. And so you don't know if it's like, okay, you have a cut on the back of your head or what, but he's hooked up to tubes and stuff in the hospital. And you know, now Dean is at this crossroads after seeing this ugly hit, you know, and I think anybody watching football this season has probably had a couple opportunities to see ugly injuries on the field and start rethinking, you like, is this worth it? Like making mm-hmm. people's lives like this. But from the hockey standpoint, Patrick Swayze is like, hey man, make sure you get him for me. So that's one influence. Coach's daughter is like, it's just a game, leave, which is weird because she's not like, and I'll come with you, we'll make a life together outside of hockey. She's just like, I'm still going to be a part of this hockey organization.
Yeah, I'm the Zamboni driver, so
you specifically should leave. Go back home to America, far away from me. I guess we're broken up now as well, but like, it's fine because it's just hockey, it's just a game. He takes the coach's daughter's advice and is like, yeah, I'm out of here. Goes back home. His brother, who lost an eye to hockey, that's why he washed out of the Canadian juniors. He's like, you fucking pussy. Even with one eye, I should go back there and just take your place. You're soft and you're a letdown to this family. And if you need it, I'll teach you how to fight because you need a little more goon in you. We'll talk about this later, I'm sure, but this is just insane to me because of how the league has changed over the last, what, at least 10 years, but probably closer to 15, where it's like, you don't need goons anymore. Like there's still a little fighting in hockey, but like, if you can just get a lot of Connor McDavid's on your team shooting the puck all fucking game, like you take that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, all we do is like win 8-1 while your big guys enforce whoopty shit.
Yeah.
So like the days of the Bash Brothers are gone now. So watching this movie is just wild because the coach is like, oh great, what's Youngblood doing now? Scoring again? Go hit him.
Yeah.
Anyways, Dean's family, after a couple days, weeks on the farm, I have no idea because he goes back for the like second game of the series.
3 days. Yeah.
Like the series isn't over. He goes back and plays in the very next game, but he spends like a week on the farm, getting tractor unstuck, learning how to fight from his brother up in a barn loft. And then his dad out on the ice, his dad secretly takes him out to the rink and is like, it's one thing to learn how to fight in a barn, but you got to learn how to survive on the ice. And so he teaches him how to like yank the jersey over and keep your skates under you, all that other stuff. Dean is like, that's it, I'm going back. He goes back to Hamilton. Like we said, the next game in the series is going to be played here for all the marbles. Coach is like, get in here, you son of a bitch. At first he's like, what are you doing back here, soft boy? But Dean makes it pretty clear, like, I'm ready to fight, coach. And he's like, that's what I wanted to see, the heart. Everyone in this movie is always tapping their chest and saying, you gotta have this. So Dean goes out on the ice. The coach keeps him on the bench for two periods, super cool. With like 5 minutes left in the game, he finally puts him out there. Dean immediately scores the tying goal. With no Patrick Swayze on the ice, basically no other member of the team touches the puck. Dean does everything unassisted. He's a one-man goal scoring machine. No one can touch him. He puts them in the lead. And then, Racky comes back and puts a dirty, he hooks him, right? He grabs the skate, or is that tripping? I'm bad at hockey penalties.
It's a total trip. Like, okay. It's like a fucking wackadoodle, like pull you off stage with the giant.
Yeah, the Sandman at the Apollo Theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's extremely blatant. The ref is a soft son of a bitch who calls nothing in this whole movie up until this moment, and it's like his big redemptive moment as he finally calls a blatant penalty in the middle of a championship game.
With 3 seconds left.
Yep, Diener gets a penalty. He scores the penalty goal, putting the team ahead and winning the game. And then everybody's like, you know what? It seems like Dean Youngblood and Racky have some beef they've got to settle. So the game's over. Let's just give them a fight circle. And everyone circles around them and is just like, go at it, bros. The audience is cool with it. The refs are cool with it. The coaches are all cool with it. Everyone is just like, yeah, we got to squash this after the championship game. Nothing better than a boxing match in the middle of the ice. Dean wins it. And then the coach's daughter is in love with him again. Did I get it all?
I think
you'll forgive me. I'm not used to summarizing the plot. That's not usually my job.
I know.
Job.
I turned the tables.
I hope I did a good job.
No, that was thorough. So this movie was written and directed by Peter Markle. He was. Oh, now I'm doing Amy's job.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ames, do you want to tell us what's going on behind the scenes here?
Well, do you recognize the name Peter Markle, my friend?
Fuck no.
I recognize the name, but I didn't place it. I was like, who the fuck is Peter Markle?
Did he write something else?
Yes. If you listen to our podcast first season, he did this movie called Wagons East.
Wow. Also starring
a shit movie.
Yeah. Also starring Ed Lautner.
He's a journeyman. Yeah.
When you see the coach in this movie, you'll immediately recognize him because he's in everything as like a hard ass.
No, you're that one guy, and no one knows his name.
Yeah. Right. He's a classic. Ed Lauder is a classic guy. He plays everything from like girlfriend's dad to hard ass principal to
corrupt cop,
enforcer, corrupt cop. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's got a face
Father
for
leaving
like,
the tube.
Exactly right. So yeah,
a mean priest. Like
he can do it all. Yeah, he's got the range. We love it.
So this is kind of what we do in our podcast a little bit, but it's written by John Whitman and Peter Markle, directed by Peter Markle, starring Rob Lowe, Cynthia Gibbs as the girlfriend, Patrick Swayze, Ed Lautner, Fiona Fagan, Keanu Reeves as his debut movie, and George Finn. I'll also throw out, and there's a couple hockey players that you guys might know. George Finn was an enforcer in the minor leagues in Canada. On Ontario. Peter Zazel, I'm not sure who he is, but he was also had a career in hockey, along with Steve Stumpy Thomas.
Stumpy.
I think he's currently the St. Louis Blue Jays coach or assistant coach or something like that. And then do you
Blue Jackets, right? Like for the hockey.
Did you say Blue Jays?
I don't know. Blue something.
The St. Louis BJs, we can all agree.
Yeah.
I just quickly read some stuff and scrolled it down. So is there a Blues? Is there Maple? Is there
St. Louis Blues?
St. Louis Blues.
Blue Jackets. Okay.
St. Louis Blues sounds like a USA Up All Night show.
Yeah.
Where it's a little racy, but not that racy.
And the dad was Eric, I'm going to butcher this, Nestorenko.
Yes, Eric Nestorenko. Quick blurb on him.
I do have one fact.
Go ahead.
He is a Stanley Cup champion. He was able to score in the sixth game in the third period against the Detroit Red Wings, and they won. He was a Chicago Blackhawk for like 20 years.
Ooh, yes. Hate the Blackhawks.
Amy is correct. He was a right winger, 6'2", 200 pounds, played over 1,200 games in 21 seasons, 5 with Toronto and 19 with Chicago. He won the Stanley Cup in 61. Something notable about him, if you Google his hockey fight against John Ferguson, do it. You guys, it's 1965. There's a scrum on the side of the boards. Eric Nestorenko fucking bashes John Ferguson over the head with his stick. Guess what? John Ferguson had a reputation of being one of the toughest guys in the 60s when it was still a six-team league. So they call it the drubbing of Eric Nestorenko. And John Fergie just pounds his fucking face and gives him like five haymakers. He's out by the second one. He's on the ice, blood everywhere. A guy skates into his head. It's just mayhem. And then Eric Nestorenko, he gets up on his own accord, skates off the ice. It's fucking brutal.
Yeah, and this is no helmet era. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's a whole different situation. It's you know, basically legalized assault versus like the sports scrums we're used to now, where like, you know, in baseball the bench is clear and everyone just like chest bumps a lot, or in basketball, like whenever you fist fight, it's usually in practice.
Yeah.
Well, somebody slapping your wife or something. But like, this is like a legit, this is like hospital time shit.
Yeah. Well, and then so he does have some scandal with him. He, Willie O'Ree,
hockey player, has controversy in his personal life.
Yeah. Well, are you guys familiar with Willie O'Ree? He was the first Black player to crack into the leagues. He's like the Jackie Robinson of the NHL. Yeah. So Willie O'Ree, he started with the Boston Bruins. He wrote in his book, The Score, Willie, the game-changing story of the first NHL Black player. Check it out. He wrote in his book that Nestorenko called him a racial slur and then cross-checked him in the teeth. And then O'Ree responded by giving him 15 stitches in the side of the head. Nestorenko claims that never happened, or he denies it. Yeah, but he never apologized, and Nestorenko died last summer.
Oh.
So.
R.I.P. Bozo, I guess. I don't know. I'll never know whether it happened or not. It seems much more likely that it happened than did not to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, knowing exactly what Jackie went through, knowing that O'Ree played in Boston of all fucking places, like,
no shit. Yeah.
And in the NHL, like, as you know, cool as the league can be sometimes, like, hockey, this movie even says it, like, what's the quote here? I've got it. Thank God there's still a sport for middle-class white boys. Like, yeah, this movie came out 40 years ago, and that's still fairly true. Like,
yeah,
this is for dudes named Hunter.
Yeah, well, speaking of dated, I have a little section called That Doesn't Age Well.
So where do we begin?
Okay, well, for me, the team, spoiler alert, the team shaves his balls as an initiation or trigger warning, I guess.
As a hazing, he is being hazed via sexual assault, I would say.
Razor.
When a stranger is handling your testicles against your will as you're being held down by six hockey players, I would say this qualifies as sexual assault.
I think so. Yeah. Because, I played hockey when I was little, and the only hazing we did was, like, stuff you in a hockey bag for 10 minutes because it stinks bad. You know, like...
It do be stinking in there.
Yeah. What other... I'm like, what other? Okay, the landlady, Miss McGill.
Yep.
I like her hot pants. I like her hot ass. But then she just sets him down on the bed and goes, I'm going to take your hockey virginity right here and now. Yeah.
Which apparently she did with every single hockey player. She had busts out these trading cards. Like, I slept with this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy.
Yeah, this is the Bull Durham of hockey, where she's like the Susan Sarandon who's like, I pick a newbie every season and I just ride them all the way to the pros. So, like, I get what they're kind of going for here. It's very Bull Durham, but first of all, she's not a Susan Sarandon. Second of all, he is extremely 17, which I know we all go to Canada so we can drink a little early, but I'm pretty sure you don't go to Canada so you can fuck early. He's a teen.
Well, and Keanu Reeves is also just staring in the crack on the door. You know, I was like, okay.
Well, that actually kind of works for me. It's a long-standing fantasy of mine to have Keanu Reeves watch. So that's just me.
No, what I love about this movie, though, is just how it oozes 80-ness. Like, you know, the movie opens as a foggy rink with a hot Rob Lowe. Did you guys read any of the reviews?
No.
I have to be pure about, as a film critic that me and Amy are, I like to keep myself pure. I did want to note that the music is all done by a band called Torch Song or something like that. Ooh. And that's where all the synth and squealy electric guitar solos are coming from in the middle of this movie.
Yeah,
it's extremely 1986 up in this bitch. 100%. Yeah.
Well, and I'm pretty sure they rip off the melody to like Fab Five, but it tells me everybody's high. DJ splashing on Saving My Mind. What's that Blondie song, Amy?
Rapture.
Rapture. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they just take that theme and just tweak it a little bit. No, I'm just going to read you the first sentence of this review from 2001. Maybe it's because I neither follow hockey nor care for it, or maybe it's because I'm a 15-year-old female teenager, but I like this movie. Okay, I'll stop reading. But I mean, yeah, Rob Lowe is like the pretty face in it. And before I knew nothing about this movie, I thought it was going to be like a dorky comedy where he's like a cocky hockey player. So I was a little surprised that it was not that.
I was going to say, she's probably referring to the scene where Rob Lowe is just walking around in his jockstrap for like 5 minutes. So it was just like close up of his butt for the 5 minutes.
And yeah, you could tell his religion in that jockstrap as well.
Yep. Is this a good time to bring up that, you know, as long as we're talking about controversy in our personal lives, how everyone has forgotten that Rob Lowe's sex tape with a literal high schooler like went public and he still gets to have a career, like a really, really successful big career.
Yeah. Rob Lowe. So the hockey acting in the movie is comically bad.
It's not good.
Where it's like a guy's checking in another guy into the boards going 3 miles per hour.
Or Dean Youngblood, whenever he's making his big, like he's going coast to coast or whatever, like you'll literally just see the entire opposing team standing still watching him cut through. Like they're all sitting there like it's just a practice or a rehearsal shot or something. Like they're just like, yeah, he's just kind of getting his feet under him. Like no one is moving at all, which is, I know, because of who I am as a person, I watch the movie Miracle like once a year because I'm a big Kurt Russell guy. But yeah, because of how big of a Miracle fan I am, I also watch the DVD special features. The movie came out when I was working at Suncoast, so give me a break. But the director of that movie talked a lot about how when they were making the movie, they didn't want to over rehearse too much the game stuff because they wanted it to feel spontaneous and like actual game action. He was like, it was hard as fuck. He's like it's easier to do this with football or obviously baseball, but like basketball and hockey, he said, were the hardest things to like film to make them look like they were real, because both of those are so much about improvisation and, you know, seeing what's coming next, and everyone's moving extremely fast. And he's just like getting a great big fat union guy with a camera on his shoulder that weighs 50 pounds to kind of move, interweave through all of that is so hard. And so you have to rehearse it, but you don't want it to feel over rehearsed. And in this movie, you just really see like, they just decided to be like, only Rob Lowe will move during this scene. Yeah. And it's bad hockey. It's bad hockey.
I actually have a fact about that.
Okay.
Rob Lowe never put on ice skates prior to this film. So they had to teach him how to ice skate, and especially hockey ice skate. Then we have Patrick Swayze, it's Patrick Swayze, so he only knows how to figure skate. So he also doesn't know how to play hockey.
He can only do triple axels.
Yeah,
that's all. Like, he's still a world-class athlete. Like, when this man takes his shirt off, it's insane. Obviously, anyone who's seen Roadhouse knows, but come on.
Well, he takes off his shirt plenty of times.
Yeah, he's doing curls in it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, by the way, so good.
And then we have Keanu Reeves, who actually did play hockey, but he was the goalie, so you don't actually see him do anything other than goaltend. And then we have, of course, Racky, who's an actual enforcer in the league. But for Rob Lowe, the director, Peter Markle, was also in minor leagues in Canadian hockey, so he was doing all of Rob Lowe's stunts, and a cinematographer created a device that was basically like a camera on a giant hockey stick. And so he would skate around with the camera. So that's why the camera is so steady it is.
Oh, cool. Yeah, nice. I think it was noted for that. Like, wow, you feel like you're in the action going 3 miles per hour.
Right.
Because like, yeah, with Miracle, I think a lot of those actors were hockey players first.
Yeah, their auditions were basically also tryouts where they're like, give us college hockey players who like, you know, clearly aren't going to make, you know, the NHL or anything, but still want to kind of make something happen. And so, yeah, a lot of the players that they brought in were like, it's easier to teach. It's the classic Armageddon thing. It's like it's easier to teach hockey players how to act than it is to teach actors how to play hockey. So, that's what they brought in. And they're just like, yeah, man, we can teach you how to hit your mark, say the line, not look into the camera. We cannot convincingly teach Patrick Swayze to, you know, like fucking hip check a guy and score on a breakaway.
So just a quick yes or no. Could Rob Lowe rock a Canadian tuxedo?
You know he can.
Yeah, I think it's that tight butt. Speaking of butt, let's talk about that sex scene, which is like 3 minutes long. At first, I thought
this
it was
is such a this is
her butt, far, but it was his butt. Like
Kate, you and I have watched a lot of hockey movies together. This is by far the horniest of them all.
Oh,
it's
for
not
sure.
even close.
Well, I even like just like you know, they're doing it, and all of a sudden the tea kettle goes off, you know, and then there's like a cherry cut away to like a cherry on top. It's like,
and then like she's got the little tea cage, the little metal ball on a chain, and she's like slowly dropping it into the cup just as his like hips are sinking between her thighs. Yeah. And then like as her head arches back, it breaks the surface of the water. It's so fucking horny. It's so horny.
Well, and then back to Miss McGill, she has no chill. She just like walks in the room and lays their like sex tea down.
I disagree. That's the most chill because she's going up there thinking she's about to ride Dean Youngblood. And the second she sees like another person under the blanket, she's like, he's done it. My sweet little baby boy, who I am fucking, by the way, has finally become a man. And so she walks in there, gives him a knowing nod and like sets the tea set down for him. She's the most chill. I thought she was going to like cause a ruckus, but she's just like,
oh yeah,
way to go, Dean, you did it.
So I was reading about this scene. Peter Markle did not want to put this in there, but he was forced to cast Rob Lowe, and he's like, doesn't he only do comedies? I guess I'll put this scene in there too. So he had to rework a script for Rob because the producers forced him to do it. It's like, wait, I don't know how this guy acts.
What comedy was Rob Lowe in?
I was gonna say he's in St. Elmo's Fire.
Outsiders?
Like, all he does is dramedies. Yeah.
This is what I was reading about, but he said that he didn't know Rob well that well, and he's like, he's not a hockey player. I have to teach him how to play, so he's putting more acting stuff in there for Rob Lowe. So that's part of the reason why the sex scene gets put into the film.
What did we think of Rob Lowe here?
He was a very serious young actor, I feel like, in this film. You know, I'm not going to say he was like a great performance, but I didn't think he was so shitty.
Yeah, I am not familiar with Rob Lowe's work as much as I realized as I was watching this. So I'm like, I've seen The Outsiders. What else did I see with him in it? I know I've seen more with him in it, but I just couldn't think of anything. So I don't think he did bad, but I just don't know how well he is.
I guess I mostly know him from like Parks and Rec now, but like he was also in Tommy Boy. He was good in Tommy Boy.
Yeah, he played a good sleaze in Tommy Boy.
And Wayne's World, right?
Yeah, Wayne's World. Yep.
Like that's where I thought Rob Lowe's career was going to be. Like he had that sex tape with an underage girl, and everyone was like, wow, you're a world class piece of shit. And it was like, okay, I guess I'll just be scumbag in movies from here on out. And it's like, yeah, that's a good spot for Rob Lowe. If he's going to have a career after this horrible scandal, then like playing the scumbag in movies is a good spot for him. And like now he's like America's sweetheart and shit. And I'm like, how the fuck is this dude doing Atkins shit now?
Yeah, no, he's got a podcast too. Like he's being charming with Rob Lowe or something.
I think he got away with it because the girl lied about his age, but still, that's not, that doesn't, he should still have, still should have a career.
Well, yeah, I think he's also been sober for like 35 years too, which is like,
this sobers him up too, so.
But still, like, neither of those things is a defense. So, get his ass out.
No, exactly. He was like 24 when that happened. So he was not like a kid.
So he should have been arrested, but it was the 80s. They treated women a lot differently, or maybe not, but they let him get away from some
Back to the movie. The last fight, when they do the fight circle, and they fucking do a stick fighting, like a sword fight.
Yeah, I was gonna say the rule that the brother says is like, make sure you get his stick away from him first. And I'm just like, maybe in the 80s it's different, but like all the hockey I grew up watching, which is like 90s and after, like the fight's about to start is the stick and gloves get thrown far, far away. Yeah. And like that's your signal, you know?
No, so the fight begins as soon as you whip off your gloves.
Did they have something in the 80s where it's like, well, I am still gonna hold on to my stick and beat you about the fucking head with it? Like the 60s is one thing, but like the 80s.
Yeah, no, I think just the unspoken rule of it all is both players need to have their gloves off. So if one player won't take off his gloves, the other player can't start fighting yet. Or he can, but I don't know. The other guy will just turtle. So you just need to take your gloves off.
Kate, let's talk about something if I can real quick. This is something this is what the movie brought up in my weird little, communist head. Something that has aged very well is this movie talks a little bit about the precarity of being a hockey player as a career. Specifically in the juniors, but also like kind of before that, Patrick Swayze has a little speech about like how you got to play by the coach's rules, the team's rules, just so you can get in the draft, make a little bit of money before you like either get injured, get old, or get bad. The brother kind of talks about that with his injury. The dad talks about that a little bit. How much, I don't know how familiar you are necessarily with the leagues underneath the NHL, but I know you know the NHL. How has the labor situation changed at all in hockey? How precarious is it for these guys? Are they still like driving themselves up to just any old tryout and hoping for the fucking best?
Well, I know like every NHL team has like a farm team, you know, like with the Colorado Avalanche, their farm team is the Colorado Eagles, you know? So like when we have
Are there miners unionized?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'll save that for another episode. But, if a player's, like right now, half of Colorado's team is the Colorado Eagles because we have so many injuries, you get called up, right. But I think breaking into the league, it all starts, fucking look at Keith Tkachuk's kids, Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk. They've been on skate since they were 2 years old. They were pretty much destined for the NHL. And then you got a player like
whose dad
quit his job to drive him to the rink 4 hours away. You know, so it's like some kids have an easier path to the NHL, and some, their parents have to take a mortgage out on their house.
Then you get to the juniors, and like if the coach is a dipshit or just doesn't like you and decides to bench you or cut you, like you have nothing. It's just like go home. Like so much is out of your control. It's insane.
Well, and that's the thing, your role as a hockey player can totally change. Like look at John Scott. He was famous for winning the MVP for the All-Stars a few years ago. He was almost 6'6" on skates, a huge motherfucker. But when he was in college, he could actually like produce points and was a good playmaker. But when he made it to the pros, they're like, no, you're a fucking enforcer now, and he was like, gotta play by their rules. Like, well, yeah, if you want to play in the NHL and you're 6'6", you're no longer a goal scorer.
Or if you tell the coach, like, hey, what if I score goals? And it's like, this guy's a locker room cancer. He's uncoachable. Like all of these labels stick to you guys. And like, if you don't have like a contract somewhere, like that could be the end of your career. You just get labeled and that's that.
Well, yeah. And they can just ship you off too. I mean, it's so competitive. also, I mean, obviously there's more room to break into the NHL. There are 32 teams now.
Right. But I mean, even in this movie during the tryouts, it's like there's one spot on the fucking like Hamilton Mustangs and 50 guys are on the ice at the same time. Yeah. Like, it's like you can go home and be replaced anytime.
Yeah, well, exactly. Since you mentioned that, I got a question for you. I mean, I'm a big hockey player, but who would you pick? You have Youngblood, who's fast and can score, but they have Rafiki, who's, I mean, not Rafiki.
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 Lion King.
Sorry. Oh, who's like an enforcer, who's big, and he can also score goals that we see later in the game. Who would you rather have on your team? Who would you rather go for?
I'm taking Pretty Boy.
Yeah, Pretty Boy is extremely fast and puts a lot of untouched pucks in the net. Plus,
he was clutch. Like, he sat for two periods and then scored his first shift on the ice, like, both times.
Came out warm.
So,
yep. I don't mention it, but he actually got a hat trick in that final game.
Of course he did. like it goes completely unremarked upon because this movie is just like, well, obviously when Frablo's on the ice, he's scoring nonstop. So, whatever.
So if this, I think this movie could totally be remade or should be remade, updated. Or what's the last good hockey movie that came out?
Goon?
Miracle?
Yeah, Goon. And then they did a sequel to Goon. But like the whole thing with Goon, was he like mentally not up to snuff? And that
hard to say with hockey players. You know my stance. Yeah. I think most NHL players are functionally illiterate. So like just the way the systems have been set up, like here living here in Minnesota, you see it like coworkers with their kids are just like, yeah, we're thinking of taking, you know, Braden out of school at 15 because we'll just send him to a prep or we'll get him on board with a team that's going to like a local amateur team that's going to like a start getting him paid, but also start like giving him real game time or this and that. And he doesn't need distractions like schools or this, like he can go travel and start getting used to rink time and blah, 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 blah. It's what does he need to learn how to read for? You know? Yeah. So like as you get more and more specialized, you lose more and more like general purpose knowledge. And I mean, it's hard to say with hockey guys, man. I don't know.
I will say I've worked with two different UND hockey players who were both going to be neurosurgeons. So there are some to go there. I mean, they're using it for a college degree.
But
it was neurosurgery.
Yeah, there can be some, but, you know, like engineers and all that. Smarty pants. But
yeah, there is a lot. Then we have some guy we went to high school with that disappeared for 4 years because he went to one of those school that Kyle was just mentioning.
Yeah. I think one of the Lamus, another kid in my grade, Williard or something. So I think they went to Nebraska to play at the Nebraska Lincoln Stars, which is like a semi-pro for a development school. So from like, I think you could go pro at like 15, 16.
I mean, you talk to anybody in Grand Forks, everybody knows somebody who's somebody's kid is out in the trying to make something happen in the juniors. The fucking mayor is just a guy who played hockey. He's not a smart man or a lawyer who knows laws. He's just like, I played hockey and I think taxes shouldn't exist. And they're like, 100% landslide victory. Like,
yeah. God, Bochenski. He was a good player, but I mean...
That's what everyone in the fucking booth said, and they pulled the lever for him.
Yeah.
Like, he hustled.
Yeah, I wouldn't have voted for him, but...
So, I remember a little bit about hockey. Rob Lowe was a wing, and he was fast. Wasn't that the same thing that you followed? Weren't you a wing and fast? Do you see similarities between your two characters?
Yeah. Katie, do you identify with Dean Youngblood here?
Well, here's the thing. I wasn't a big pussy like him.
Wow.
If someone was pushing me around, I wasn't falling over. I wasn't afraid to. But the thing is, in girls hockey, you don't fight and there's no checking. I mean, yeah, their fighting would occur. Some, you know, cat fights in the corner.
Sure.
But no. I just like throughout the whole movie, I was like, God, he's such a pussy.
I love that you are obviously you're intelligent. You're extremely good at hockey. You're a modern woman, you know, and yet still we're just like, yeah, Rob Lowe kind of took that hit there without any retaliation. You're like, yeah, fucking puss, get him out of here. You're the 80-year-old coach in a 1980s hockey movie being like, I'm sorry, kid, you ain't got that. You ain't got this, and touch your chest about it.
No, and like the thing that bothered me is like, how did he get this far in his hockey playing career with no physicality to his game when he knows it's half the fucking game? You know, he's all righteous, like, I don't want to fight. I don't like this part of the game. Patrick Swayze's skull crunched. Well, first of all, that was the Iraqi guy punching him from behind the head and right. Then leg sweep. You know, it's just the most ridiculous, brutal attack. If that happened today, people would be, that'd be all over the news.
I actually have a fact about that. That's actually based on a real life hockey player who played for the Minnesota North Stars that happened to him and he died on the ice.
Neil Broughton? No. He's a famous North Star. No.
They didn't say the name of his, the player on the, who died, but that's where it comes from. The guy, remember that play and put in his movie in.
Yeah, I think because like when you're a top goal scorer, you're not known for your fighting. Like Gretzky never fought, you know, in that era. You know, he had McSorley in his corner beating people up for him. But that's the other thing, is like scorers, you don't really fight, but also you need to hold your own. I don't know.
No, I here's the thing. I'm not quite there with you. Like obviously, like what we know now about concussions and what they do to brain, yeah. and all of that, like obviously for me, I don't think hockey necessarily needs the fighting part of it anymore. However, yeah. When I was at the fucking Red Wings Wild game last month before.
Nice.
When a fight breaks out, I'm the first one on their feet, like, yeah, like I'm
apron,
you know, like.
Exactly. No, I am also in that camp where I'm not like fighting belongs to the game. Fighting is a part of the game. No, it happens. Oh,
you can't let them push you around out there, son. Come on.
It's true. No, that is true. I don't know. It's just when you see such like, you know, an open ice hit, like the Scott Stevens hit on Paul Kariya 20 years ago, where he literally died on the ice and came back to life. Like that kind of shit. We're like, yeah, technically it was a clean hit, but it was like, oh, do we need that kind of like car crashes in mid ice or checking from behind near the boards and the guy just hits his throat and his head snaps backwards? You're like, do we need that? You know,
wasn't there a guy that played UND? Like, it's like, yeah, I'm on the ice 15 seconds. He's quadriplegic.
Oh my God. Yes.
I remember you telling me that story.
Yeah, he was a speaker. He played for Boston University or Boston College, one of those top clubs. His very first shift on the ice, got checked, a bad check in the boards, paralyzed from the neck down. Oh, Amy, sad.
I don't know a bad thing, so.
Well, I'm no, but just saying this movie is kind of begging those questions. You know what I mean? Like it presents us with an awful lot of on ice brutality, and the moral of the movie is almost like you need a little goon in your kid, like it really does take the side of you need to learn how to fight to be a good hockey player. All you are is a pure scorer, you're never gonna make it in this league, which is insane in 2023 now, but at the time that was the game.
Well, yeah, no, like he, you know, when he quits the team, he's like, how can you guys practice right now? It's like, well, you already talked to him in the hospital. He spoke back. He's going to be okay. But then he was like grappling with like survivor's guilt or something. And he just wanted to walk away from it.
Which is valid. Like if you see somebody you're close to take a really bad hit and you know how bad it could have been, even if it turned out okay, like it rattles you for sure.
But then he went back to the farm and he sucked at being a farmer.
He was a really bad farmer.
He got his tractor stuck in the mud. He couldn't even clip barbed wire.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was like when Derek Zoolander goes back to the mines.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Well, no. And when the brother calls him out for being a pussy, you know. But, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is if you're playing at that level, it's expected to at least you're going to have to throw a punch or take a punch. You can't just turtle.
And you're right. It is shocking this movie presents us with this character who hasn't had that happen yet. Like, even at the high school level, somebody would have fucking gotten his face, done something cheap to him, whatever. Like, I know the movie is like, he's so fast, no one can catch him. But, like, you don't have to be fast to trip somebody who's fast. You know what I mean? Like, you can hurt this guy. It's hockey.
Well, how did he never learn how to fight? Because they had a punching bag in the barn. Like, he never hit that punching bag? Come on.
Also, his dad and brother both played hockey professionally at varying levels. Like, I know his brother lost his eye and his dad didn't want to encourage it anymore after that. But, like, up until that moment, was his dad not... He let him play hockey. Someone's paying for the sticks, the skates, the pads, the rink time.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess now, you know,
Katie, have we never seen this movie? I feel like we've seen too many hockey movies for you never to have seen this movie before.
It just was before my time-ish. And I have also never seen Slapshot.
That's bullshit. I know we've watched Slapshot together. We spent like a week watching hockey movies.
I don't think watched I've Miracle. Watched it. I've seen Miracle a million times, but I haven't seen
We saw Slapshot Mighty Ducks. A to Z. We saw Slapshot. I think we watched like 1 and 2 together. I don't know about all this. This is when I was living with Jimmy. I think we watched a bunch of this shit together.
I recently just watched Miracle, but no, I do. I would like to see another player trying to make it movie. we just need another one. So
yeah. I think the thing is, like, hockey's just not quite there in... They don't make sports movies that much anymore, really, but, like, I don't know. I don't know why they don't make any more hockey movies. They don't make football movies anymore, or baseball or any of that shit. Remember when we were kids and there was, like, 8,000 goddamn movies per sport?
Yeah.
We don't get none of that shit no more.
Or, like... I just thought Coach Carter, just naming sports movies now.
I mean, Little Giants, Rookie of the Year,
Bad Sam News Bears.
Yeah, going all the way back, Air Bud, etc.
Is there Air Bud hockey?
Almost certainly. There's definitely Most Valuable Primate, right? That's the
MVP. Yeah. I'd pay to see that. A monkey on skates.
You'll have to pay to see that. There's no way they're just giving that away.
No, I think I've only seen two hockey movies and various degrees of how good they were. Mystery Alaska and Hockey Mom. Which you made me watch.
Hockey Mom? I have like amnesia.
Apparently.
It's some Canadian movie.
I think I remember. I know what movie you're talking about.
It was like from Heroes, like the mom from Heroes or something.
Yeah, okay. She's a hockey mom and she starts playing.
Something like that, I don't remember.
The town comes together, she saves the library. Just kidding. Well, so I guess anything else to add to the movie?
Not really for me. That's it.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you, Kai, how many piles of shits do you give this?
Oh, 2.5. This is a right down the middle kind of thing. Of all the hockey movies I've seen, this one is one of them. I don't know. I mean, Slapshot is the best of them all, and it's not even close. So, like, it feels weird to, like, even trying to, like, put it in the rankings of hockey movies or anything, but like, it's fine. It doesn't mess up too bad. You get to see male nudity. You get to see lady nudity. You get to see a hilarious prank where a dude puts his dentures in a Bloody Mary. You get Patrick Swayze and young Keanu Reeves. I mean, if you want to watch a hockey movie, this is a hockey movie. You can watch it. It's fine.
Aim. How many stinky piles of shit do you give this movie?
I'll say we do our scale out of 5. So I'm gonna say I'm also gonna do 2.5 because I just listened to two other movies that I watched, and they were terrible. And so far, out of the three hockey movies I've seen, this is the best one. But it was like the beginning part where they're having fun at the bar, they're getting to know Rob Lowe. That is actually fun. And then I don't play hockey, so I can't judge how well the hockey was. But I had fun fight scenes. It's stuff I want to see in a hockey movie. So I'll give it 2.5. So
I'm gonna give it a 2 solid shits.
Okay. Meaning it's pretty good, a little bit better.
0 is good, 5 is bad.
Well, I mean, I just didn't want to be a third 2.5, so I just rounded it down. Because I didn't know it was going to be a drama, and it was okay.
I mean, if you wanted to make us watch bad hockey movies, there's like MVP or Sudden Death. Like, there is some like buck wild shit out there. And this is like fairly tame by those standards. Like, isn't like Jean-Claude plays goalie in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup to stop a terrorist, right? Like it's Sudden Death is an insane fucking movie.
That's the next movie we'll be watching.
It's January. It should be the next movie everyone's watching.
All right, you guys. Thanks so much for coming on. And can you give your shout outs for your Twitter and your Insta so people can catch your podcast?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us on. It's a delight to get to chat with you. Our Twitter presence is at ITBYMMWT. If you go on Twitter, which is a dying service, that's where you'll see us post links to our episodes. They're also on Spotify. If you go to, I Can't Believe You Made Me Watch That, you'll find it on Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, or they're basically every service. Head those ways, you can find them there.
And we do have an Instagram. I forgot the password, so it needs to be updated, but it's just the name of the podcast. It's I Can't Believe I Made You. You Made Me. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I Can't Believe You Made Me Watch That. The name.
All right. Thanks, you guys. And I will catch you the next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.